Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, back here at the Public House, Pat, we've got that other airline doing their little thing that they do once a year. This, if you're at Guantanamo and they were piping in the music, this is really, do people actually listen to this?
Yeah, in fact, I mean, definitely it's grating on me a little bit, but
a little.
They've been kind enough to buy us off, so we'll tolerate it. We don't have much of a chance, a choice. Franco Finn doing his thing. They got the dancers. And I like the Guantanamo analogy.
It's like being in the joint.
It's you know, I mean, you visited guys in the
Come
joint.
On,
it's like Noriega. Remember how they got Noriega out of his hold-up cell or his house?
Seriously.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Look, what can I say? All right. Bob Whiting joins us. And Bob is a longtime resident of Japan. He's the expert on Japanese baseball. He's worked with the CIA. How about that, Pat?
Ah.
And intelligence community. His wife has worked for the UN. They've lived all around the world. But he wrote a tremendous book. It's called You Gotta Have Wa, and it explains Japanese baseball and the way the Japanese approach the game of baseball. Bob Whiting, nice to have you with us.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Marty. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're going to have to speak up because we're out here in I don't know where we are.
We're at a rave.
Okay, how's this?
That's better.
Much better. Thank you so much. All right, Bob, well, you know, you and I, we had such a nice conversation the other day, and one of the things I want to get to right away is the samurai effect of Japanese baseball, because it's funny, I was talking to Javi Lopez yesterday about your book and about the way the Japanese approach baseball, especially from the training methods. And these guys looked at each other and just shook their heads and said, there's no way we could ever do that. And explain what goes on over there.
Well, you have training year-round. High school baseball is... you play on a high school baseball team, you get 3 days off at New Year's, and the rest of the time you have to practice. They play two seasons in the spring and fall, and they have a national tournament in the summer. And, all the days off are spent in special camps. You know, they have drills like the 1,000 fungo drill, where you field ground balls for 2 or 3 hours until you drop from exhaustion. Or pitchers regularly go out, you know, and spring camp will throw, you know, 400 or 500 balls. Not every day, but they'll do it, you know, periodically to air their arm out. The whole idea is that you have to reach your peak and surpass it, and you become a superior person physically and mentally. This goes back to the 19th century, late 19th century, when there was a famous prep school, college-age prep school, of students that were being prepared to go into the Imperial University, where all the movers and shakers from Japan came out of. And they, majority of the students were from samurai families, and they had this powerful baseball team, and they adopted the whole samurai ethic, which is reflected in the martial arts of endless training and development of spirit. And so practice before school, after school, summer camps, rain or snow. And if you got hit in the face with a fastball and it really hurt, it was forbidden to use the word ouch because that was considered a sign of character weakness. But if it really hurt and blood was flung from your nose, then you could use the word kaiui, which means it itches. And they had, you know, players would swing the bat 1,000 times a day before going to bed at night in the dormitory. And that whole idea of endless training, year-round training, has been, and development of spirit, exercise to develop spirit, has been the template for Japanese baseball ever since.
Crazy. Hey, Bob, Patrick Connor here on the patio, and it's brutally loud out here, so I apologize if I miss something.
Yeah.
I'm a big sports and movie guy, and in movies, I think of the Bad News Bears 2, where they went down to Houston and played the Japanese in the Astrodome. I think of Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck. And to a certain extent, the Ron Howard classic, Gung Ho, with Michael Keaton. How much of how Japanese baseball is portrayed on the big screen is realistic to the way they actually, their culture over there?
Well, I think it's fairly realistic. I mean, Mr. Baseball was everything that you saw in that movie, you know, the training practices, you know, the endless training, the constant sacrifice bunts, to show, you know, team unity and harmony. It all happened, but it just didn't happen in like half a season, but those things actually happened, the half a season that was portrayed in the movie Mr. Baseball. But yeah, that's fairly representative, I think. American ball players who go to Japan just, they can't believe it. You know, you saw spring training starts February 1st, and they head off to camps. They stay in hotels. They work out 8 hours a day, and they have indoor workouts in the evening. Before then, in January, the players are supposed to gather for voluntary training sessions, which are actually compulsory because you get in a lot of trouble if you don't attend. Practice on days off and travel days. You know, it's constant. It's a lot easier to play in the major leagues, I think, than it is to play in the Japanese major leagues.
What a world. Bob Whiting joins us. And all this is in the book, You Gotta Have WAD, W-A. It's an outstanding book. I love it. I really enjoyed reading it. I really have, Bob. But Japanese baseball has changed a little bit. And, of course, the way the Japanese look at American baseball. And it all started with one pitcher. And I talked to Javi Lopez about him last night. Of how good Hideo Nomo was. And Javi played with him, and he mimicked his delivery. But Hideo Nomo came over here, and all of a sudden the Japanese people said, hey, this is kind of cool.
That's right. Up until, of course there was, you know, Masashi Murakami, who played briefly a couple of years for the San Francisco Giants. And there was a contract dispute because of that. The Japanese wanted him back, so they signed this working agreement, which meant that both sides agreed to keep their hands off of each other's baseball players. But in 1995, Hideo Nomo and his agent, Don Nomura, found a loophole that got them out of that. But up until that time, it had been the whole goal of playing Japanese baseball was to have a real World Series with the Americans, to build up their game so that they could challenge and defeat the Americans. And any player who talked about who wanted to go was considered a traitor. So Nomo found this loophole, and the whole entire country was against him. Even his father stopped speaking to him after he signed this contract with the Dodgers. And, he was just blasted by the national sports media. But then he pitched his first game, which was at Candlestick Park, interestingly. He pitched a five-inning shutout. And I remember standing in front of Shibuya Station in Tokyo watching this game on a giant jumbotron live in the morning. All these businessmen on their way to work were standing there watching it, thousands of people. And they just went nuts when because he did so well against the Americans. He was Rookie of the Year that year. He started the All-Star game. And so just overnight, the mentality changed. People were saying, hey, that's our boy over there. How many more of our stars can go to America and succeed? And so it went from being a terrible thing to being the thing to do for Japanese stars to go to the major leagues.
Point, and all was Hideo Nomo. And now, of course, the pipeline is still going, and it goes right to today. Ichiro is such an amazing story in this country. How is he perceived in Japan? And I say this, Bob, because I've seen Ichiro for many years, and the amount of press that follows him around from Japan, 3,000 hits, the Pete Rose record somewhat in debate. But how is Ichiro looked at in Japan?
Well, he's, the number one athlete in all the surveys. It's kind of ironic because when he played in Japan, he wasn't as nationally prominent. He had commercials, but he played for a team that was not very popular, the Oryx Blue Wave, and so you never saw their games on television, and the stands were always half full. You know, it was the Tokyo Giants, who owned their own television network every night. Their games were on telecast live nationwide. They were on the front page of sports newspapers every day. And so they got all the attention. It was Hideki Matsui, came into the pros at the same time Ichiro did. And it was Matsui, who hit 50 home runs one season, who got all the attention. In fact, Ichiro said, I could hit 400, and they still wouldn't come to see me play. But, I mean, he was well-known. He had commercials, but he just wasn't the national presence that the Tokyo Giants and Hideki Matsui were. And he had some resentment because he thought that he was a better ball player than Matsui. But as soon as he went to the States and he started setting all these records, then you know, just every day his games are on television on NHK.
Boy, wild. That, really, and I, he's a Hall of Famer in my book, and I'm just so glad that the whole country has still embraced him over there. Here's the other thought I have, Bob Whiting, and this is more in your expertise. Is there another relationship in the world, like the United States and Japan, that actually the governments relate through baseball as well as through, of course, many, many other things, but there is a definite relationship with baseball and government with the United States and Japan?
Oh, yes, definitely. In fact, the minister, I don't think there's anything like it. You know, the foreign ministry of Japan has this chart on their website that gauges the level of goodwill between Americans and Japan. It was really at a low in the 80s and the early 90s because of trade disputes. It was the lowest since the end of World War II, as a matter of fact. But as soon as Nomo went to America and started winning, and this, you know, phenomenon of Nomo mania hit, there was just this huge spike in goodwill between U.S. and Americans. And the New York Times wrote an editorial that was widely disseminated in Japan. It says, finally, here's a product that Americans are not complaining about, a product from Japan that nobody's complaining about.
Very good. Hey, Bob, it's a pleasure having you with us, and I know you're a big Giants fan, and I know you enjoy coming to the games, but don't be a stranger. Next time you come in, I know you spend a lot of time in Japan as well, but next time you come in, please let us know, and we'll have you out here live at the patio.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, thanks. I'll do that. It was great meeting you and talking to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.